Good morning, friends around the world. Let's begin our meditation. Back in 2012, Trish and I moved from South Florida to Maryland. And in the move, we had decided that we were going to begin a church. And the church was going to have an outreach to homeless people. We didn't know exactly what we were going to do, but we prayed and moved forward. Someone once said, you can't steer a boat that's anchored. So we decided to run a facility on Central Avenue in Glen Burnie, Maryland. We were all excited. It took us about 2 months to get the building ready. Trish and I were going to have our private practices. She was going to do psychotherapy, and I was going to do pastoral counseling during the week and have church services on Sunday and reach out to those less fortunate than ourselves in that community. We were all excited, and the first Sunday came along, and the building was ready, and we opened our doors, and I'll be darned if we didn't have probably 20 people who were homeless attend our first Mass. It was a glorious time, and we were just pleased with how the people had responded. Well, that evening, my bishop called, and we had a conversation. He said, well, how'd it go today? And I said, it was fantastic. We had probably close to 20 people, and it was wonderful. But, you know, Bishop, it was one thing that was kind of surprising. He said, what was that? I said, well, you know, I didn't know whether to pass the offering plate or not, but I really thought that out of respect that I should do that. But you know what happened? I left the offering plate out and someone stole the money. He said, what did you expect? I said, what do you mean? He said, Ed, you're the problem. You know, I struggled with that for quite a while. Why was I the problem? They stole the money out of a church offering plate. And I realized that desperate people do desperate things. So today, let's think about this concept of moral luck. You see, the problem of moral luck is that some people are born into, live within, and experience circumstances that seem to change their moral culpability when all other factors remain the same. For instance, a case of circumstantial moral luck. A poor person is born into a poor family and has no other way to feed himself, so he steals his food. Another person, born into a very wealthy family, does very little, but has ample food and does not need to steal to get it. Should the poor person be more morally blameworthy than the rich person? After all, it's not this person's fault that they were born into such circumstances, but a matter of luck. A related case is reluctant moral luck. For instance, two persons behave in a morally culpable way, such as driving carelessly, but end up producing unequal amounts of harm. One strikes a person and kills him, while the other does not. That one driver caused a death and the other didn't is no part of the driver's intentional actions. Yet most observers, you and me, would likely ascribe greater blame to the driver who killed someone. Let's focus on this morning. The fundamental question of moral luck is how our moral responsibility is changed by factors over which we have no control. Let's think about, for the rest of the time that we have together this morning, about our relationships with other people. Do we take into account moral luck? Do we consider when their behavior is not quite what we'd like it to be? Something that has to do with moral luck.